The date is July 5th, 1989, and we're watching Weekend at Bernie's. Welcome to I Used to Like This One.
Hello and welcome to I Used to Like This One, the show where we take a look back at movies we remember fondly from our childhood and attempt to look past the nostalgia to see if they still hold up. My name is Sean Wells, and with me, as always, is the Larry to my Richard.
Hello, I'm Colin Stewart.
And this week we've brought back one of our fan favorite guests, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Will Brisbane.
What an introduction. Pleasure to be back. Thank you, guys.
Well, I figure we can't always just rely on the crutch of Paw Patrol the movie. I mean, at some point, we're going to have to move on to your next project, but you're between projects at the moment.
Yeah, so, no, that's the same thing with me. I'm everybody in my life at school and stuff, it's all they ever want to talk about is Paw Patrol. And I mean, it's crazy. It's been an incredible opportunity, but I'm just like, I have other things to offer. So I'm hoping I can step further into the entertainment world and really solidify myself as a great performer.
Yeah. I just imagine Will walking through the halls of his high school being like, I am more than a writer. I am more than a dog.
No, I mean, I never say that because like, I'm so grateful for the opportunity, but like, everybody at my school calls me Paw Patrol. Nobody knows my name.
Well, we know what your high school caption has to be on your graduation photo, right?
Yeah, I have a name.
Oh, no, I was thinking, you know, Paw Patrol on a roll or something.
Oh, yeah.
Oh boy. So this week we're looking back way before Will was even born, back to July 1989 when the movies and theaters were Do the Right Thing, Great Balls of Fire, Karate Kid Part 3, Honey I Shrunk the Kids, here's a bonus, Batman, and of course our movie for today, Weekend at Bernie's, which earned $30.2 million on a $15 million budget.
I mean, thank God for that relatively low budget, because $30 million sounds about right, I guess.
Yeah. Especially against, like, Batman.
Batman, yeah. But, as always, there will be spoilers ahead, so if you don't want this movie to be spoiled for you, then please hit pause, go watch it, and then come back and hear what we have to say.
I mean, I can tell you off that list that back in 1989, I saw Karate Kid Part 3, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and Batman all in theaters. So, like, that was a big summer for Sean.
This is my first time ever watching Weekend at Bernie's was for this, so I got to enjoy it for the first time.
And you would have been out watching Honey, I Shrunk the Kids or Batman instead, I'm sure.
Right, yeah.
Well, the tagline that appears on the poster for this movie is, I have five. The first is, a lively comedy about a guy who isn't.
Clever. Clever.
Yeah. The second is the drop dead comedy of the year.
I mean, yeah, it's right there. So, I mean, I don't fault them for taking it, but.
Yeah.
Low hanging fruit. Yeah, you knew drop dead was going to be in one of them.
Yeah.
It had to be.
Number three, two morons, one corpse. The plot thickens.
Okay.
All right.
Number four, Bernie Lomax would be the perfect host, except for one small thing. He's dead.
Yeah, that's the one I'm looking at right now.
Yeah.
I find that one to be a little bit of a red herring. That one to me doesn't really have anything to do with the movie.
Well, finally, we've got Bernie may be dead, but he's still the life of the party.
Okay. I guess.
Well, they may not be the best descriptions of this movie, so let's go to Colin for a 60-second synopsis.
We should actually time this one and see if it's 60 seconds.
Okay.
All right.
And go.
When Larry and Richard uncover some discrepancies in the financial reports of the insurance company they work for, they dutifully bring the information to their boss, Bernie Lomax, hoping that it will help advance their careers. As a reward for discovering the fraud in his company, Bernie invites the boys to his beach house to discuss the matter further. Little do they know it is actually Bernie who is the fraud, and the invite is part of a plan to have them killed by his mobster friends so that his criminal activity will remain under wraps. But little does Bernie know, his mobster friends are sick of his crap, and in an unexpected turn of events, they send their assassin to kill him at his beach house instead. When Larry and Richard arrive, they find Bernie's corpse and deduce that he must have died from a drug overdose. While trying to figure out what to do, a party breaks out as all Bernie's beach house friends show up. Unsure of how to handle the situation and not wanting to be blamed for the death of their boss, they decide to do the only reasonable thing, pretend he's not dead. Things go from bad to worse when the ruse works so well the mob thinks Bernie is still alive and plot to kill him again, and the boys discover the truth about Bernie's plan to have them killed and try to find a way off the island. Meanwhile, Richard tries to keep the summer romance alive with the beautiful summer intern whose family just so happens to also own a house in the area. After numerous hysterical dead guys alive scenarios and one involving necrophilia, the boys try to escape the island by commandeering Bernie's boat and nearly destroy the entire dock in the process. Clearly not understanding how to operate a boat, they burn through all their fuel and swim back to shore using Bernie's corpse as a flotation device. When they arrive back at the house, they finally decide to call the police and then come face to face with Bernie's murderer, who kills him once more and then tries to kill them. But thanks to a well-placed kick to the assassin's balls, courtesy of Bernie's conveniently placed foot, Larry manages to tie him up until the police arrive and the whole fiasco sort of comes to an end. And that is your 60-second synopsis.
Was it 60 seconds?
No, it wasn't. No, that was a 60-second synopsis squared is what that one was. Oh, yeah. That one was a 2-minute synopsis.
Nice.
But very thorough. Absolutely. Yes. Weekend at Bernie's, original title for Weekend at Bernie's was Heat Wave, I read, but Motown wouldn't allow the rights to this song. And they had a working title of Hot and Cold. Both of those are terrible names for this movie.
Hot and Cold, I guess, it's like dead and alive, but like Heat Wave doesn't make any sense.
Well, because they open the movie in the heat wave, but now Weekend at Bernie's does seem like a more descriptive title. Now, Will, you started saying that you had never seen this movie before we made you sit down and watch this movie. What was your knowledge of just even the movie itself?
Well, I knew like what the main premise was, and I also like I just heard that it was super funny and like it was a classic, but I just never gotten around to watching it. And then there was one, I don't know the TV character. I think it might have been Barney Stinson.
How I Met Your Mother. He tries to pull the play of the Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah. So yeah. I was just that was in my head when I was watching it too, because I remembered that. But I was glad I got the chance to watch it, because I don't know when I would have gotten the chance otherwise.
Excellent. Colin, what about you? Do you have any kind of history with Weekend at Bernie's?
Well, the year this movie came out, you know, that weekend I would have been celebrating my 3rd birthday, and so I would have been enjoying cake and not really, you know, one to be going to the theater to watch a film such as this with such debauchery. And then yeah, I would say, like, in my life, I've never watched it. I've heard of it through, like, pop culture references, like How I Met Your Mother. I'm pretty sure there's a Family Guy episode that references it.
Yeah.
And, like, just one of their off scenes. But I've never seen it. And to be honest, like, I never really had any interest in seeing it. But I was surprised at how the movie progresses.
Yeah.
Because I had assumed going into this movie that the entire movie was about the party, was about a dead, like, trying to pretend a dead guy is alive at a party. Like, I thought that was gonna be the entire movie, and then so much other stuff happens that I was like, oh, this is strange. And then there's a sequel somehow, so
also
very
yeah.
odd.
Yeah, there is a Weekend at Bernie's 2, and I mean, as you see at the end of this movie, they do set up the fact that, like, no one can contain Bernie. that right. you have to bring him back for a second run. If I remember correctly, and I was tempted to go and watch it back to back, but I've made this mistake on this show before where I've watched the sequel. I did it with Young Guns. And then I started blurring the lines when I started, you know, when I came to record the podcast. So I figured I would keep myself fresh and not watch Weekend at Bernie's 2. But if I remember correctly, it picks up almost immediately. Like, it's still the same weekend.
That's kind of what I assumed. I didn't watch it, but I read a synopsis that basically, because it's almost they're doing the exact same thing, like, but there's actually people who think that they're responsible for killing Bernie. So it does seem like a continuation of this movie. And then I also read that the part of Bernie is that there's some, like, witchcraft or, like, voodoo thing happening where they're trying to, like, bring him back to, like, they reanimate his corpse somehow.
I do.
And I was like, I don't think I need to watch this movie.
I do not remember that.
I have it on IMDb, and it says, like, the just quick synopsis. It says, Larry and Richard use a voodoo-revived corpse to track down hidden money to clear their names. So, interesting.
Okay. Well, let's get into the first Weekend at Bernie's, directed by Ted Kotcheff, who was the director of Rambo First Blood, produced by Victor Dry and Bruce McNall, and it's written by Robert Klein, who also wrote the sequel, and European Vacation, and The Man with One Red Shoe. He's got some good comedy credits. Okay. And we open this movie with this montage, basically, of this heat wave that's happening in the city, and we have this song saying some like it hot, and we see how incredibly hot this city is. I remember that when I first saw this movie as a young one, that the guy mugging them in Central Park, or attempting to mug them, was one of those reasons why I was afraid of New York. Was New York actually that scary in the 80s? Or, you know, like, is it just gentrified now?
I mean, there was definitely a point. I feel like it was whenever, you'd have to look up, it was whenever pre-Rudy Giuliani, I feel like New York was a pretty rough place, if I remember right.
Oh, okay.
And then... It must have been, like, kind of like the Clinton era. Like, whenever they started to, like, they implemented, like, the three strikes rule and got, like, really tough on crime, and then it areas of New York cleaned up. But there's always going to be some element of crime in New York, I feel like.
Yeah. Well, I enjoyed how the movie just kind of put us into this world without really explaining.
Yeah.
You figure out bits and pieces as you go along that they're there on a weekend and that they turn off the air conditioning on the weekends. And
yeah,
but, and I really enjoyed, like, all the shtick on the roof with the tar. I thought there was some great physical comedy going on there.
Yeah. Like with the beer can stuck to the roof and stuff. And I really like the handshake at the end too, when they are stuck together.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they would go on a tar-soaked roof in a heat wave. That wouldn't be my first place to, like, I also imagine they must have been getting, like, really high off the fumes of the tar, like, melting in the sun, no?
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah. I think that opening montage, to your point, Sean, like, I like how they... I like this about most movies that came out in the 1980s, how they use that first 3 minutes to just really tell you, without saying anything, who these characters are. Like, even just, like, having Larry, like, just, like, tell the guy in the park, like, nah, it's, like, we don't have time for this, basically. Like, don't, like, don't bother us.
Yeah, it's too hot, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, he's carrying a TV, so, like, you realize once they actually get to the office that his plan was to sit there and watch TV all day. But for the whole first couple minutes, you're sitting there wondering, why is he carrying around this little TV?
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, on Sean's point, I do like it because I do like how you're placed in this world, and then it's, like, mystery, but you quickly discover everything. It's cool. I wish more movies now did that, because it is a nice style.
And it takes, like, no time to get to the inciting incident.
Yeah.
It's, like, right away, they're going through the papers, like, Richard notices the fraud, and then, boom, they're in Barry's office, and you're off to the races.
Yeah,
Bernie's office.
Yeah, we saw the same thing in Harry and the Hendersons. Like, the first 5 minutes is everything you need, but you got to put it together yourself. I couldn't help but notice, though, that Richard wears a ring on his wedding ring hand.
What? Really?
Yeah. So,
is it a, is it one of those, like, a Catholic, those, like, Irish Catholic rings?
Well, it had a circle at the top, right? Like, it had, like, a flat circle on top. But, yeah, so, like, maybe, like, a, I don't know, like, an accountant's ring or something. But I was wondering why he was wearing it on his
wedding
hand. Yeah.
Huh. Well, now it makes sense why What's-Her-Face was so awkward. Maybe she just thought he was married.
Right. So I read that this was originally going to be a movie for the two Coreys.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then they decided to age up the characters. So instead, we've got Andrew McCarthy as Larry and Jonathan Silverman as Richard. And I read that John Cryer auditioned for both of those roles and got neither.
Huh. Have either of those two gone on to anything? I didn't recognize them.
I did a little IMDb dive after I finished the movie, and it didn't really. Yeah, there was really nothing for Andrew McCarthy. Jonathan Silverman, there was like a couple, but like nothing like big. Like I think it was like one of those ones in the series of like another teen movie or whatever. Those
okay.
Yeah, like he's kind of like Ron Livingston from Office Space that just shows up every once in a while, but it's kind of like, oh, it's that guy from Office Space. That's all he'll ever be, unfortunately.
Or he really knows him from anything else. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the guy from... But see, I know both their names, but yeah, I couldn't name another one of their movies except for the sequel to this one.
Yeah. I don't know what Terry Kaiser's been in, the guy who played Bernie. I don't know.
Yeah, for some reason... Until I started watching the movie, I was thinking that this was going to be the guy from the guy that plays Dorf. You know, Dorf on Golf. He was on the in the Carol Burnett show. Oh shit, what's his name?
No.
But then I'm like, oh yeah, no, it's this guy. And yeah, he was another one. I remember I IMDb'd him too, and I'm just like, oh well, yeah, he's got like nothing else. Plays another dead body in Weekend at Bernie's 2.
Yeah. Would have been like a fun role to play, but like also so hard to just have to be like that limp for that long. Like that would be difficult.
I think it's genius to put sunglasses on his face. I kept trying to watch every time they were walking around with him if I could catch him slipping up.
Yeah.
And really the only thing I kind of doubt is when at the point of the movie when they have their ankles tied together to like fake him walking was like, could you like just run?
Yeah,
like that? I don't think so.
The way they were holding them, there was no way that they had him balanced enough up there.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Because were they holding up his other, like the arm that was around them? Were they even holding that up? Because he would have just fallen straight forward because his arms couldn't support anything.
Well, they had their arms like around his waist and they had put his arms over their shoulders. And I think they were holding them with their other hands. But it's like, you can't hold someone up around their waist. Well, I guess, I don't know.
Would
not with running. Not like Colin said, not with running.
And especially with that amount of like precision timing, like literally they're just like, okay, left, right, and they say that like it's like a little thing they say, and then they go perfectly around like the whole island in unison.
Yeah
It's so impossible.
Another thing about this movie that was different from I guess the movie I've put together in my head piecing stuff together from pop culture is I'd always assumed that Bernie was one of their uncles. I'd always assume that Bernie was an uncle of one of the main characters, and they were like at his house, and he died.
Yeah, not a boss employee. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, and I like how he plays a very likable and unlikable character in a way. Like he is so friendly to them when they bring him the numbers. And then I had this moment where I even like put it in my notes. Bernie is supposed to be shady. Am I remembering this right? And then the very next scene was him talking to the gangsters. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay. No, I was remembering it right. He is an asshole. Right.
Yeah. No, but and it's even like that office scene. Like, it's not like he's directly a jerk. It's just like backhanded stuff. Like when he's like, when they call him Burn and he's like, E, Burn E. Or when he's like, no smoking. I just thought, yeah, it's just like backhanded stuff like that. But it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought, I originally thought he was being kind of a nice guy because it seemed like he was trying to give them a way out. Mm-hmm. Like, he was trying to say, like, there's a point where he's looking at it, he's like, oh, no, you guys got it all wrong. And I felt like, I almost felt like he was trying to give them a way out to just be like, oh, yeah, we must have been wrong. Like, you're the boss, you know better.
Yeah.
So that he wouldn't have to have them killed, but those tenacious little buggers just would not be stopped. I kind of wish that they would have gone more into the mob story. Yeah. And, like, had those guys show up a little bit more, and
it was like that one Polly guy, but that it was also just random when the guy, the other taller, slender guy, made like a random appearance in like the phone. Like, I didn't know, like, that was fitting in there.
Well, yeah, I think it's telling because in their IMDb's, like, they are credited as Polly, comma, Vito's hitman, or Tina, comma, Vito's girl, right? Like, it's you have to make sure that you specify who the Tina is, because no one would remember Tina otherwise.
No, yeah. Mm.
Oh, Vito's girl. Which one's Vito? Fuck. He's in one scene, but just talked about.
Very, like, generic mob names, too, like Polly, Vito. I don't know what the other guy's name is, but it was pretty basic too.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
One of them had to be Tony for sure.
So I want to say Larry's fashion sense, and okay. First of all, I'm going to say that I think I preferred Larry as a character over Richard, but Larry's fashion sense is just incredible. It is off the charts. Like, he's got that all plaid ensemble going into Bernie's office, like the plaid shirt under the over the plaid tie, or like in the beginning with his Hawaiian shirt. He's just rocking it everywhere he goes.
That's a hot take about the character thing, though, because I was the opposite. I thought Richard was I liked Richard more. I didn't know if he was the more likable, but I liked him as a character, and we got to see a lot more development out of him through the movie than we did with Larry.
Yeah.
Hmm. I'll break the tie and say I didn't like either of them.
I liked the dead body.
Yeah, I liked Bernie best. No, I probably liked who did I like best? I didn't mind. I don't even remember what her name, like Catherine Marie Stewart or whatever.
Yeah,
her character. I liked her.
Yeah, she's.
I also like the guy who's trying to get Bernie's car. He keeps the guy who, like, chases them down on the golf cart and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, yeah. Like, the viciously drunk guy at the party, too, though.
That's right. Like, yeah, you mentioned Catherine Mary Stewart, who we talked about in Last Starfighter, playing Gwen, our Edmontonian. Did you know she's Edmontonian, Will?
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, no way. Represent.
There we go. Just like Nathan Fillion.
Yeah, Nathan Fillion's Civilian Pavilion.
I hashtagged that one back when that was a thing, yeah.
I wonder if anything ever came of that. I didn't really pay much attention to it. I just thought it was really funny.
They renamed City Hall for a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, Bernie invites them out to his beach house, and it turns out that he's going to kill Richard and Larry. Does he live there, or is this, like, his summer place? Like,
well, I don't know where the Hampton Islands are in relation to New York City, but I can't imagine he'd live there because there's, like, a ferry you have to take, and everybody drives golf carts, so it seems like a vacation place.
Okay.
Yeah, it seems like a vacation home to me. Or like a summer home, probably.
But I'm wondering why he went out there in the first place. Like, why did he bother going out if he was just going to try to get back to New York to have an alibi?
Well, yeah, good point.
I mean, I kind of lost track of it, but there's the point where they call there's the point where Larry and Richard find those briefcases full of money, and there's some story about like them getting one of them getting a sex change.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that all played into the alibi, but I don't know. I'm not really clear on what Bernie's full plan was, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting.
Wanted to make it look like a murder suicide.
Yeah. And speaking of murders, it's like Polly, the murder of Bernie That's like the worst murder ever. He gets his fingerprints on like everything he possibly can.
The other thing too is like Bernie's, whatever his plan was, if his plan was to go to get back to New York so he would have an alibi, it didn't really work out because the minute he arrives, he's like glad handing everybody and just kissing random girls on the pier. And like, so everybody would have known he was there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to see if I can Google what Bernie's plan was.
Well, I mean, you know, like when he does get murdered, I have a little, I did a little light Googling myself. I think it's science lesson time.
Okay.
Let me discuss rigor mortis with you gentlemen. Now, rigor mortis is a post-mortem change resulting in the stiffening of the body muscles due to the chemical changes in the myofibrils. It appears approximately 2 hours after death in the muscles of the face. Then it progresses to the limbs over the next few hours, completing between 6 and 8 hours after death. Then it stays for another 12 hours until around 24 hours after death. So, what I don't understand is, why is Bernie floppy for the entire movie? There is a 12-hour period where this guy should be stiff as a board.
Yeah. I guess my best answer is it's they needed good physical comedy and it's Hollywood. And so they didn't really do their research.
Fuck science.
Yeah.
I mean, I...
Movie magic.
I read that they... movie magic. I read that there was a stuntman that broke a few ribs being towed behind the boat in that scene. And I'm like, they used a real person for that?
Well, yeah, I just figured they used a dummy when I was watching that scene.
Yeah. And it's like, why did you use a person for that? So, I mean, I don't know. They really weren't thinking in Hollywood.
No. They had to do it. They couldn't afford the dummy on a $15 million budget.
Yeah. Unless rigor mortis explains the way that that one woman was able to have sex with Bernie at one point.
That's what I was gonna, like, she seems like when they're, Polly's watching her from the thing and like the boys are downstairs, like it seems like she's like having a good time.
Quite satisfied.
Yeah, but that wouldn't be possible unless he's just like the worst ever and she was just used to that.
Yeah. I did skip over the bit of the date that Richard had with Gwen to Jaime's Hunan.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the subtle line, and I mean, I wouldn't have picked this up as a kid, of, what, you've never had sweet and sour matzo ball soup before? Love it.
Yeah. I don't get it.
Well, because it's Jaime's Hunan, so it's like a Jewish Chinese restaurant cross.
Right.
It's gotcha. 80s fusion, baby. But I think maybe with the mention of Jaime's Hunan, I think we can go to sponsorship corner. So always on the lookout for product placements and movies, this week, Weekend at Bernie's is brought to you by Nike, Converse, Titleist, Prince Tennis, Coors and Heineken Beers, the Boston Red Sox, Nescafe, Fanta, Coca-Cola, Perrier, and Evian Water. I will admit I had trouble reading Bernie's booze bottles and book titles, but there's a bunch of those too. AT&T, Pan Am, Baldwin Pianos, Easy Go Golf Carts, Glastron Boats, and EP Skis, Professional Life Jackets, Texaco, Porsche, and GMC, Sony and RCA, Town and Country, Calvin and Hobbes, and the board game Monopoly. Plus the probably fictional East Bay Water Taxi, Trans-Allied Insurance, and Jaime's Hunan. And this has been Sponsorship Corner.
I noticed on his bookshelf that he had that at least a couple of them were from the Dune series.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah. I enjoyed with the water the fact that the Perrier water was what Bernie had, but the Evian water was what was in Richard's fridge when he takes Gwen back to his apartment.
Right.
Or back to his dad's apartment. The dad is actually played by the director.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so Andrew McCarthy directed this scene, apparently. Huh. Yeah.
That was one of my favorite scenes, though, when he calls him Monroe. I thought that was very cool. How about the U-Wash there?
I would have liked to have seen Larry's apartment. I think they could have had a little bit more fun with the cockroach. Like, I would have loved to just see the lights turn on and cockroaches scurry up all the walls.
When I was first watching it, when he like made that face, which he was like, we can go back to your apartment, I thought he was going to go to Larry's apartment. And, like, the first bit he was in there, I was like, oh, Larry's apartment's actually nice. And then I realized that it was his parents' apartment. But for the first bit, I thought it was Larry's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, because even the fact that he was whispering wasn't properly explained until, like we put it together as an audience at the same time that she does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you get a Joe Flaherty vibe from the hitman, from Polly?
Who? I don't even know who Joe Flaherty is.
You know Happy Gilmore? Jackass!
Oh, yeah, totally I did, okay. Yes.
A lot like him.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, okay. I like his escape, though, where, like, he puts on the priest's collar with his jacket over top. That's his getaway outfit.
He's like, God bless you, boys.
Yeah.
That whole scene was just how smooth his execution is to, like, inject, burn you with that needle, and then, yeah, like, go right into the dressing up and his like, escape getup and all that.
Oh, don't forget planting the drugs.
Pretty smooth. And planting the drugs, yeah.
I was wondering what those were, what would have killed him that fast.
That's iocane powder is what that is. It's tasteless, it smells. Yeah, no.
Well, no. I was going to say the smart thing to do would have been to just, like, actually shoot him up with enough drugs to OD. But I don't feel like Bernie would just go down so smooth like that and fall asleep.
Yeah.
I feel like it would have been a little bit more violent, but who knows?
Well, he did seem like he knew something was about to happen, like, because when Paulie asked him for, like, a cigarette, he was hesitant and stuff, and, like, it was almost like he knew that I don't know if it was just because he was nervous being around the mob, but I couldn't imagine that was what it was, because, like, those guys were all, like, his good friends, and it didn't really, I think what I was thinking was he, like, knew something was going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did enjoy the storyline between Paulie, like, trying to finish this kill throughout the movie. Like, I thought that was definitely a fun running B plot in this movie.
Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah, I kind of felt like I would have liked that to be more. Like, part of my problem with the movie is that it's too solvable. Even with, like, you know, sometimes you watch movies and you're like, well, if you had a cell phone or whatever, like, you could just solve this problem. But I never really understand why, even after the party, they don't just call the police.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Like, at that point, they don't know about the briefcase yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they don't know that they're being framed or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. But you could have had... I wanted more, almost, of, like Paulie to almost come back, like, day after day and be like, why isn't this guy dead? Like, how is this not happening?
Right. It would have just added a lot more substance, because it's... Yeah, I don't know. It's a pretty short movie. Could have a little bit more.
I enjoyed when the guys had to, like, try to jump onto the ferry because it was pulling away, and and it was actually pulling in. I thought that was a fun moment.
Yeah, that was pretty fun.
But why is this ferry such a party boat? Like, this does not seem normal to me.
What I was thinking was, because it's, like, mentioned in his office, he's like, oh, you go, like, rich people, famous people, like, celebrities. So I guess it's just, like, Monte Carlo, almost, like, that island. So, like, everybody is just, like, always, like, a rich person, like, party, even on the ferry.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that, like, all these people feel like they just have carte blanche to show up at Bernie's house at night and party until the break of dawn it seems like a party island to me.
Well, yeah, because, like, they say that they, like, go from, like, house to house, like, party to party.
Yeah. It's the What? How did he put it exactly? I don't even remember.
The floating parties.
Oh, yeah, the floating party. That's right. Yeah, happens every week. I love, though, the choice of Bernie to, like, die with that smirk on his face.
Yeah, and he kept it to the... Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing.
Have either of you ever heard of or seen the movie Swiss Army Man, starring Daniel Radcliffe?
I've heard of it, yeah, but that's Daniel Radcliffe and Paul Dano, right?
I don't even know if it's Paul Dano, but I know that in that one he plays a dead body.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, the same sort of acting that you have to do of just holding your breath for a really long time.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't heard of that one. I'll have to check it out. Is it any good?
I don't know. I haven't seen it. I've only heard of it. I've watched the trailer for it, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It has a 72% on Rotten Tomatoes, so take that for what it's worth.
Yes.
Okay. Spoiler alert, that's higher than Weekend at Bernie's. So with this floating party, why does this one guy want Bernie's Porsche so much? Like, in 1989, was it impossible to get a Porsche in the United States or something?
I don't know.
That was one of those things where I felt like they needed a line even from Bernie at the beginning of the movie, be like, man, this guy won't stop bothering me about my car. Like, it's just so random that you're, I don't know, personally, I was just kind of like, what's this guy's deal?
Yeah.
Like,
well, cause
there's some story from before all this happened that wasn't explained, and now we're just, like, right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was also funny how, like, everybody just knew exactly what what Bernie was saying just by, like, the littlest, like, movement of his head and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. But, like, the Porsche guy, he gets him up to, like, $45,000 and free tennis lessons. And, like, in 1989, I Googled, like, how much a Porsche would have cost, and it was around $70,000. So, I mean, he's trying to get it at a deal, but why is he just so adamant? He's got a place in the Hamptons. Obviously, he can afford it if he's just like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe it was just exotic at that time.
I mean, what seems more exotic is Bernie's, like, Porsche golf cart.
Yeah, with the little tail fin or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the red golf cart that looks, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it was customized in some way that this guy really, he was like, it's a one-of-a-kind machine.
Had to have been.
Right.
But then you're not even going to go as high as a regular Porsche. Like, if it's one of a kind, you're not at least going to try, like, the lowball offer of 70 grand?
Yeah.
Because that was a bottom-of-the-line Porsche. I mean, or, like, I don't know whether he had the turbos. Like, I just kind of, it was like Porsche 911 is all I kind of Googled with that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes sense.
So then, surprise, at this party, Gwen shows up. What the hell? What's Gwen doing here? She's here to have drunk rich men leer at her and make inappropriate comments, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Wow.
What a way to force a love story, if I've ever seen one.
Yeah.
Oh, my parents own a house out here. I'm here for the summer.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
I would have liked it more, I think, if she had kind of been in on the whole thing, instead of doubting Richard, if she had actually believed him. But I did like the thing about, because he lied about, like, his aunt dying and all these people dying, that,
yeah,
like, it makes sense that she wouldn't believe him, but...
Right, yeah.
Or she should have got kidnapped or something by, like, just throw in all the tropes and just have her get kidnapped by the mobsters, and that's why they can't call the cops, so they have to take Bernie to them.
Well, yeah, that would have actually given a reason why they wouldn't call the cops.
Yeah. But, no, instead, you know, Richard just leaves the dead body behind and goes off with Gwen to the lighthouse. I'm impressed that back in the 1989, apparently you can get into a lighthouse. Or is that because they're in the fucking Hamptons?
Probably because it was the Hamptons. I don't know.
Other alternate, like, ways I would have liked to see this movie play out if I had written it would have been... I liked when Bernie gets launched into the sea.
Yeah.
And then he shows up while Richard and Gwen are making out. Mm-hmm. At that point, I kind of thought it would have been funny if that was something that kept on happening, where it's like the body is just like they forget the body in a taxi and then they gotta track it down or something like that. Like they gotta track it down before people realize he's dead.
Forget it in a taxi. I love that.
It was funny that how much Jonathan, like, he was just so suspicious around Gwen at a bunch of times, like when she came the next day to talk to him and he was like, no, you need to leave and all this. It was just, I don't know. It was just very suspicious, and I don't. Yeah, it was just funny how she didn't know something was totally, absolutely wrong.
Yeah, but I don't remember Bernie getting launched into the sea. There isn't that when like the tide comes all the way up to the house for some reason.
Yeah, they push him over the thing, and he goes into the sand.
Yeah, he's in the sand, and then like the tide comes in. But
the tide takes
him. Are you telling me that high tide is all the way to like Bernie's property because he was right next to the deck?
Well, it looks like. Like, there's the pier, and then there's a whole bit of beach that would just all get washed away day after day. There's, like, lifeguard towers, umbrellas, and stuff. Like, that's a huge patch of beach for the path to just roll completely over.
See, they're not thinking. See, science! These people needed more science. They didn't think of rigor mortis.
Yeah.
Unless that's what the sex scene is.
Comedy doesn't have time for thought. Comedy is action.
Well, I mean, yeah, in a very physically comedic movie, I guess that is the point.
Yeah.
So what I don't understand is, like, while, you know, Richard and Gwen are down making out on the beach, somehow Larry has managed to convince someone to go up to his bedroom, and that's when Richard comes a pounding on the door, and he's like, you know, I'm busy, you know, give me 5 minutes or whatever, right? They never address that there is a woman in this house at any time other than this scene.
Like, yeah.
So,
because
when he went to retrieve the body with Richard, what happened to this girl that was in the bedroom? Like, did they kick her out? There's no scene with this girl. Who did Larry bed? That's what I want to know.
And also, when they get back, he just, like, goes off to another party. Like, he says he's going off to another party. So, like, so where did she go?
Right?
Bad, that's bad hosting. There's a lot of...
bad hosting.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, there's not a lot of good lovemaking in this movie with the necrophilia scene. That couldn't have been very satisfying. That this one, he just leaves her and goes to find a dead body. It doesn't portray the bedroom very well.
Yeah, the necrophilia one, that
brutal.
At least they just laugh it off. You know, necrophilia is hilarious.
You know, the only other movie I know that kind of has a similar situation is Clerks.
Yeah,
where you know. The what's her face has sex with the guy, the dead guy in the bathroom.
Yeah,
and that's kind of what I wonder if this woman ever found out, like, or what did she, like, did anyone tell her that she had sex with the dead guy?
Yeah,
did anybody? There needed to be like a mid credit scene of her just, like, you know, feet in the fetal position crying or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but at least with Clerks it was explained because the guy was in there jerking off when he died.
Yeah.
So at least, you know, like, it's like, so are you saying that Bernie died with a boner?
Well, I mean you get you also get the line that she says where they ask her, like, how it was, and she's like, oh, as good as it's ever been.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like,
Oh, so maybe they're
comedy.
Instead of a necrophilia joke in there, there's actually a erectile dysfunction joke.
Yeah.
So then the next morning sees Larry playing Monopoly with Bernie. That was a really funny scene to me, I thought. I really enjoyed his little game of Monopoly, and he has the string set up now, and we get a bunch of hilarious physical comedy with Bernie getting thrown over the side and the kid burying him in the sand.
Yeah.
After Bernie lands on the hitman.
Yeah.
And he thinks he strangles him to death.
Yeah.
They never really explain the kid's situation. Like, how does that kid not know that guy's dead? Or does he, and just not care?
Well, because
that kid does seem like kind of a psychopath.
Well, he comes back at the very end and he says, "Sir, mister, can I bury you?" And, like, just, like, touches him, and that makes him fall over. So he just thinks that's consent.
Yeah.
So this kid just isn't aware. But he stole his glasses. He should have known.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they find out about the ruse after a while that Bernie was luring them there to kill him. And then we get all this hilarious hijinks of, like, the gardener coming back. Who was the other guy? The guy that was fired What was he? Was he also a gardener?
Trying to remember the line that he said when they in the first bit of the movie, like when Bernie got to the island.
Well, yeah, because he's like got like a sleeping bag under Bernie's porch or something like that. And he's like, you know, I want my $50 or whatever. Like,
oh, that's what he was. He was the plumber. Because there's something about a line he says about something, learn how to fix, you'll get your 90 or something when you fix the toilets, wherever, whatever it was. But yeah, so I guess he's like the ex-plumber.
Well, I like the point where like Gwen is finally in on the ruse and everything like that before all the hijinks breaks out. And you know what, guys? I think I want to do a little I used to like this One Piece theater.
Okay.
So yeah, I mentioned that like there's the scene where Gwen finds out who they are and they or what's going on, and finally Larry breaks and just says, "Fine, we'll tell her," by bringing Bernie down the stairs. So I picked out that scene, and so we've got one of us is going to be Gwen, one of us is going to be Larry, and one of us is going to be Richard. So, Will, you already said that Richard was your favorite. So why don't we give you Richard?
Hey, sweet.
Now, Colin, you said Gwen was your favorite, didn't you? Well, Bernie was your favorite.
I'll take Gwen.
Okay, and I'll be Larry. Okay.
I need to get heighten my voice. Richard! Richard, just tell me. Richard! Okay, are you guys ready?
Yep.
Richard, just tell me what's going on!
Look, honey, Bernie's dead. The guys that killed him are now after us. Can we hide out at your place or what? It's just Bernie.
Gwen, we didn't do this to him. Look at us. Do we look like the kind of people who could kill someone?
Come on, honey. Sit down. Take a load off. Have a drink. You'll be fine.
Let me rephrase that. Do I look like the kind of person that could kill someone?
Yes! I used to like this One Piece theater. Well, when I copied that script out, I didn't realize how much of that was stage directions, because I didn't look at it very closely myself, but... I have some sound effects cues now.
Sweet.
So, what did you think of the whole... Let's take Bernie's boat plan to get back to the main shore. What did you think of the boat scene?
I think that's the high point of the movie, in my opinion.
Okay.
Like, I thought that was the funniest shit. Like,
I felt like anybody with half a brain would realize that if a boat is standing still in water, then it would be tied up.
Yeah. Well, he did throw the one off on the side, so he thought he had untied it. So I can understand why that wouldn't be his first thought.
Yeah, right.
I just love that Larry drives a boat full blast, just full throttle all the time. Like, he just doesn't, like...
Especially when they're trying not to get noticed.
I like all the I like all the rich people on the bows of their yachts
on the shore.
That's illegal, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, when he's like, oh, like, how does a boat, how do you stop a, where, like, where's the brake on this thing? And they're like, throw the anchor, and then he just launches the anchor into that old couple's table.
Yeah.
So good.
That was awesome. And then obviously the Bernie behind the boat, I love that, except I still can't believe they used a real person.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's shocking, actually. I thought for sure, I thought for sure that was the one spot where they would have, you know, just used a dummy.
Yeah.
And also, like, it goes with, like, what everybody else's reactions are for the whole rest of the movie. But, like, when he's, like, literally just getting dragged face down, they're all like, look at Bernie. Way to go, Bernie.
Yeah.
Like, as if that would, like, if you fall water skiing and you hold onto the rope, that's what it would look like.
Yeah. 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 And how would they know it's Bernie? But I like the bit with the channel markers where it's, you know. Oh, you know, which side of the channel markers am I supposed to be on? I don't know. Just stay close, though. Ding! What was that?
Yeah, and I also feel like with the channel markers, it's common sense that you go toward, you go on the side that is farthest away from shoreline.
See, I think my favorite part of like Bernie is when they start just doing things to him that you shouldn't be doing to a body, or that, you know, like vacuuming him,
stapling his head.
Yeah. I mean, that those are the sight gags that I enjoy, is when they're sitting there vacuuming him and everything like that. Like, I kind of wish there had been a bit more of that. For something where it's a story of two guys trying to pretend someone is alive, they didn't use the prop enough, I felt, at times.
Yeah.
That's fair. I don't know, and even reading through the reviews of this movie, the most common criticism is that it's just literally like one joke over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Like, it never really like escalates all that much, and they never really do anything. They don't take advantage of all that they could do. They just kind of like keep doing the same thing over and over again of having people see him and trying to make him think that he's alive, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct.
That's true. The B plot may be a little complicated at times, but at least it was something that was unique in this movie.
There should have been more of it, because it just would have added substance and it would have made it not have as many repeating jokes and yeah, as many repeating storylines. There was just more substance. I think it improved the movie substantially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess, I mean, the bigger way for me to look at it would be that I wish that they had had more creative ways of pretending that Bernie was still alive with, like, the moments that they had. Like, I don't necessarily want more added. I just wish there had been more pulley systems. You know, more
say,
Kevin
McAllister
like type.
Yeah.
Great minds.
There's a lot of just convenience over like, actual, like, plan and skill.
Yeah. And then, of course, after Bernie goes water skiing, we get the very predictable line of, "Oh my God, he lost my sunglasses."
You know what they also needed? They also, like, to me, these two guys, at some point, they would have realized that their best way out of the situation was to fake his death. Yeah. Like, make it look like, oh, Bernie's alive. And then he, like, I don't know, jumps from the balcony or something. And, like,
right.
Like, They needed that plot point and like have the funny thing where nobody sees it, and so then they like have to do it again or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
like, yeah, because it's all the thing that they're conflicted with is, should we call the cops? Shouldn't we call the cops? Whereas it's like, oh well, maybe we could make him someone else's problem, and then he's never someone else's problem. Like at the end, when it's like the ambulance goes to take him away. And he gets away from them. Like, he's just magnetically attracted to these guys now. But there needed to be more of that. Like, more Looney Tunes. That's what it needed to be.
Yeah.
You know, you try to throw away the bomb and somehow it's in your back pocket.
Yeah. I really liked the ending, though. That was funny.
Yeah, the hitman shows up at the end and just starts shooting up the place. Pops six in Bernie's chest.
Yeah.
I thought there was going to be more to the gardener and the plumber bursting out of the closet, like that maybe they would have came out earlier and saw the guy and thought he was the one who took them out, and so that would solve their problem.
Yeah.
I definitely wasn't expecting Larry to be the guy who ultimately takes down Polly.
Yeah.
I thought for sure Richard was going to be the hero to save the day.
Yeah.
For his lady love.
Yeah, he's the one trying to get the girl. There was no one there to witness Larry. I mean, you know, the guy that you think would be doing it to get himself laid is just doing it for the good of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I mean, I like the nut shot, like Bernie kicking him in the balls, but they needed something funnier than just like Larry tying him up in. Well, at first it looks like he's just going to try to strangle him. That's what I thought he was going for, was like the, you know, the whatever they call it, the like guillotine rope around the throat. But the
piano wire.
When it just turns into this like weird, I'm better at dancing through rope than you to tie you up as, I don't know. It just, the whole ending I thought was kind of abrupt and a little bit anticlimactic.
Yeah.
In my opinion, but...
But I enjoy some of the comedic moments, because there's, like, the moment when the hitman comes in and shoots Bernie, and then he realizes that Richard and Larry are standing right there, And like, you've got the, I didn't see anything. I was looking at my watch. And then Larry's like, I'm blind.
I'm
blind. Yeah, that one was funny.
I also thought it was interesting, like, weird. I wish we could have seen at the end, like, with the gardener and the plumber, like, all the, like, Larry and Richard are getting all the attention of the hero, but then if they were just like, hey, these guys aren't heroes, they just, like, senselessly beat us twice.
Well, and for someone that's supposed to be the best, like, Paulie is a terrible hitman. He can't kill fucking anyone.
Like, oh, yeah.
He did succeed with Bernie, granted, right? Like, he does have one kill under his belt for sure in this movie, even if he doesn't know it. But he can't get anyone else in this house.
Yeah.
I feel like Paulie's not a gun guy.
Yeah.
Like, that's why he uses the whatever he injects Bernie with. Like, he seems like more of a, you know, like the close contact, like surprise kill.
He's a personal assassin.
Yeah, exactly. He has a personal touch.
Yeah.
Okay. Just because, like, I just even think that by proximity of all these people in this room, he should have hit someone by now, is all I'm thinking. Like, I mean...
Yeah.
But granted, he's also very frazzled. He's been trying for the past 24 hours to kill this guy, and he's got to be a little tired and delirious.
Yeah, I'd like to know if Paulie is in Weekend at Bernie's 2, because I would like to see a return of that character. He breaks out of prison, Wet Bandit style... And, you know, he has to go after Kevin McAllister again.
Well, I have Don Palfa's IMDb right here, so I'll check. Because it came out in 1993. He was not in it, unfortunately.
Well, that's a missed opportunity.
Yeah. I guess that Lighthouse Fall, I was thinking about this in the movie. Like, he should have broken some bones. Like, that was a hard fall on hard wood.
Yeah.
And, like, the way he was falling, like, he should have definitely broken something.
I was wondering, at what point were they going to stop him? Were they going to let him go all the way to the bottom?
Yeah, I get the movie had some dignity not to go to sell out fully into the slapstick joke there, but...
Yeah, kill off Richard so that Larry has to puppet two dead bodies.
Yeah.
That's what Weekend at Bernie's 2 should have been, is... They've got two dead bodies to look out for.
Yeah. Yeah.
So at the end of the movie, the police show up, the hitman gets arrested. Richard is going to take a week off with Gwen, I guess.
And Gwen's parents.
And
Gwen's parents.
And Bernie gets away from the ambulance, setting up a sequel, and then gets buried in the sand again. And the end. That is Weekend at Bernie's. So now, Colin, Will, on IMDb, it scored a 6.4 out of 10. Told you it was lower. And a Metascore of 32. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has 54% on the tomato meter and an audience rating of 57%. But, Colin, those are just numbers. Like a stuntman Bernie being dragged behind a boat and hitting channel markers. Hit us with some reviews.
All right. Zach M. says, 4 out of 5 stars, gotta love this movie. Very silly, but still very funny. Not something you see every day. Just a simple plot, but makes up for any shortcomings with its perfect comedic timing and hilarious slapstick. Good, easy watching material.
Okay. Nice little, it's a fluff piece of a movie.
Yeah. Ted W. says, 2 out of 5 stars, pretty dumb movie starring a couple of random people. I know this movie is iconic in a lot of ways, but I don't see it. It's a very simple, quote-unquote, comedy movie. It's pretty dumb, and I legit already forgot about it. But I have to respect it by being an influence on many films and TV series. For the time, it might have been good, but in this day and age, it doesn't work.
Okay.
And then lastly, Jordan M. says, 2.5 out of 5 stars. The first act of the film was slow and barely funny. Then in the second act, when the joke of the movie was finally born, it started to pick up the pace. Then the third act is wild and actually satisfying. The bad thing about having a movie like this is that one joke can only carry a movie so far, and after a while, the joke starts to get old. My parents loved it, and it is an 80s classic, so I had to watch it. But I do not know if that was a good thing or a bad thing. The comedy was fine, and if you have no expectations for this movie, then it can be entertaining. That's what you love to hear. Just go in with no expectations.
Yeah.
There you go.
Right on. So yeah, I mean, I see a lot of what you're saying. Like that last one definitely had a little bit of it's one joke, but I liked the joke. And we already pointed out a few ways that they could have put a twist on the joke to make it more unique at different times of the movie. Mm-hmm. But just like the one review said, it's a dumb comedy. But I don't know. I'm still here for Weekend at Bernie's. It's silly. It's stupid. But, you know, I'm glad I got a chance to re-see it. You know, I enjoyed it for what it was.
Well, let's all be happy for Sean then.
What
did you think of the movie?
there were things to love in this movie. Yeah, let's throw it over to Will as the youngest panel member here today. Will, what did you think of Weekend at Bernie's?
Okay, so it wasn't, you know, I went in with high expectations. Like I went in thinking it was gonna be a great movie, and you know, it's funny, like it does its slapstick job well, but it didn't make me laugh as much as I thought it would. Like it just was very predictable, very like I knew what jokes were coming, and then sometimes there were a few curveballs that I laughed at, but for the most part it was just comedy was predictable, the story was predictable. But yeah, it definitely had heart, and I think it had potential for a story. It just wasn't executed as well as it could have been. And there were parts where I really lost focus. Like I just paused it and I paused it for like half an hour and just like didn't watch it. And then I had to kind of bring myself back to watch it again, because it just, I wasn't entertained as much as I thought I would be, but I don't know. Yeah. Out of 10, I would give it like 4.5, maybe 5. Oh, I'll push wow. 5.
Okay. Push 5. Okay.
There you go. Solid. Speaking just the will, just gotta appreciate that candor. Just speaking the truth.
Well, I mean, Colin, you've admitted in the past how much you are a sucker for a slapstick comedy or, you know, slapstick humor. So why are you so down on Weekend at Bernie's? I mean, that's what I'm gathering you're about to say, is that you really had no enjoyment of this movie at all.
Yes, you've gathered correctly. I would say that I do like slapstick humor, but for me, like for any movie to be enjoyable, I need to like the story. Mm-hmm. And I don't like this story. Like, okay. this is what I would call a first draft film. Okay. Like, I think somebody just wrote this film on their computer, sent it to somebody, and they're like, okay, sure, let's make it. Like this one could have used some extra thought. And just like added plot points, like I don't know. To me, it doesn't pass. Like I said, it doesn't pass the test of being like, it's the problem is easily solvable, but they just decide not to for, I guess, the sake of comedy.
Yeah.
But then,
I mean, it's a farce. It's a farce.
It just, yeah. I don't know. I kind of agree with Will. Like I found the same thing. Like watching it, it was like I was with it until the party scene was over, and then I was kind of like, this movie should be over now. Yeah. And then I just wasn't, I found it really hard to continue. And then there was a brief glimmer of funny. I liked the boat scene, but then you can just clearly tell by how quickly it all ends that like everything that was in between the ending and the sex, the necrophilia scene, like it was unnecessary. It didn't really need to happen.
Yeah, well,
and
raunchy so, 80s comedy, it had to happen. Come on.
I just yeah that I don't know. The movie just didn't like, and again, I don't like either of those characters. Okay. I thought both the main characters were like blah, to say the least. I thought everyone like there was nothing was hashed out to me, in my opinion. I just kind of thought like, this is just a movie that happened, and I don't know. It's not the classic I thought I was expecting. Like, okay, the way people talk about this movie, I thought I was in for like a Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, like like that type of funny, like that. Like I thought I was in for like, yeah, like John Candy level humor.
Okay.
And so maybe I did go into it with too many expectations to that one reviewer's point.
Yeah.
So that might be why I didn't enjoy it, but.
Okay, so yeah. You need to rewrite Weekend at Bernie's. What do you do? Do you do the whole thing during the party? Does the whole movie take place during the party, basically, for you?
I mean, I think for the movie to be a little bit better, you would need to hash out, you would need more explanation of, like, what is the situation with the mobsters?
Okay.
For them to like, really matter. And for them to, like, to be a little bit more a part of it. And I think I'm fine with kind of what it does, but they don't really sell it enough to be like, oh, well, Richard and Larry are afraid that they're going to get caught in the crossfires. Like, I'm assuming that's a piece of it once they figure out what the story is, but like it doesn't really come across until the end. I would have liked a little bit more where they're like really trying to outrun the mobsters and outrun, and maybe you have multiple like hitmen who they're trying to like evade.
Yeah.
It's just there's no reason for them to be scared.
Is it almost the fact that they're trapped on this island is part of what it handcuffs the filmmakers, maybe? Like, because there can't be a big car chase because they try to get off the island, they fail, they have to swim back on Bernie. They try to get off the island, they miss the ferry. You know, like,
yeah.
It's also just, why are they trying to bring Bernie? Yeah. Like, the only reason to bring him is for the gag of, like, oh, like, look, this dead guy's alive. But, yeah. Like, really, they could have just caught a ferry, the two of them, without Bernie's dead corpse slowing them down. The mob guy would have never known they were involved, and they could have just caught the ferry back to the mainland.
Put him on the couch where everyone saw him at the party the night before, take the briefcase of money, and go live your life.
Especially since you've already established with the guy that Larry thinks is dead, the drunk guy, like, people just pass out and OD on couches all the time over there, seemingly. Yeah. It seems to be par for the course, so, like, people would have totally bought it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, that's fair. So it's like a 5% movie for you. Like, was any of it redeeming for you?
The boat scene. I'll give all credit to the boat scene. I liked that.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I just have trouble erasing all my nostalgia for it. But, like, I see that it's not a great movie, but I still enjoyed some of it. Like, I think it had lots of moments. I think the whole slapstick farce nature of the ending with the gardener and the plumber and the hitman, like, I think that's all kind of fun. The scene that we did for I Used to Like This One Piece Theater, where he comes dragging Bernie down the stairs with his head hitting.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I chuckled at those different moments.
Yeah.
The thing I think about it, too, is, like, and maybe it's just because we've watched so, like, I'm trying to think, it might also be, like, the lens that I view the movie through. I wonder if I had watched it when it came out, maybe I would have thought it was funny. It's kind of the same way, like, you know, this is a good example. I recently, over the weekend, watched Freddy Got Fingered, and I loved that movie. Like, I loved that movie so much when I was in high school. I thought it was the funniest thing. And I'm not saying it's not funny anymore, but it's like, as I was watching it, I was like, if you didn't grow up in, like, that time, like, the early 2000s, similar to American Pie, it's like, a lot of the humor, I think, it just doesn't hold up as well now. Like,
I would agree with you saying that about that movie, because I just watched that recently with a buddy of mine for the first time, and, like, it was funny, but it was just so blatantly weird. Like,
it was
just so unbelievably strange. And I guess that's just what his what Tom Green's comedy is. But, like,
and just it's so, like, just off the wall. And I think that's kind of where I feel like maybe part of it is just because I didn't watch this. Or, like, maybe it's just the time that I've watched movies. Like, I just have a different humor now, and I just don't really appreciate, I guess, the humor of this movie as much. Like, this movie, even the slapstick, I think is, like, I kind of like subtle humor, and this one, it's just too over the top. Like, even when the gardener and the plumber come in, the whole thing about him missing them with, I was like, why are you doing, like, it's just too much. Like, it's too obvious and too predictable. Like, and just not at all believable that I just kind of, it just took me out of the movie so much.
Yeah, I can even see what you're saying kind of about the 80s lens on it, you know, like it being a thing of its time, because we took a look at a movie like Secret of My Success, where mm-hmm. it's got kind of the same feeling to it of the farce nature of the comedy. And, you know, that was another one where I took a look at it and went, okay, well, I can admit it's not great. And with Weekend at Bernie's, I can admit it's not great. I know it's a 50% movie, but it gave me some laughs.
Like, yeah. That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there we go. That is Weekend at Bernie's. And that's our show for the week. Oh, boy. A big thank you to our special guest, the man, the myth, the legend, Will Brisbane. Will, if people want to find you on the interwebs doing your thing, where can they find you?
Alrighty, on Instagram, you can find me at will.brisbane, and that's Will spelt the usual way, and then Brisbane, B-R-I-S-B-I-N. Twitter, I'm just pulling that up here, that is just at Will Brisbane, no dot. And Facebook, I'm not too sure, so just look up Will Brisbane and you will find it, because I'm not sure what my username is, but I know I'm on it.
Right on. Well, as always, thank you so much for joining us, Will.
Of course, thank you for having me.
If you like that show, one thing you can do is, well, just tell people. Word of mouth spreads. Word?
Like wildfire?
Like wildfire. No. Word of mouth is so important for podcasts
like
trying
COVID-19.
To find.
COVID-19. Just kidding. Spreads. Omicron.
Yeah, Omicron. Ugh. It spreads like Russia into the Ukraine. How political do we want to get here?
Yeah.
Too far.
Just address all the major issues while we can. Just hammer them all out.
Yeah.
If you like that show, one thing you can do to really help us out is just tell people. Word of mouth is so important for a podcast trying to find an audience. Or go over to whatever app it is you listen to your podcast on. Give us some stars. Give us 5 of them. 5 stars. Or whatever the maximum amount is. But it just helps drive us up the charts. It helps us get noticed because it messes with the algorithms. Or if you want to go above and beyond and be a financial supporter of the show and become an executive producer, just like executive producer Joshua Blum, you go over to patreon.com/IUsedToLikeThisOne and become part of our Patreon family and get your own shout out on the show.
And be sure to check out our website, www.IUsedToLikeThisOne.com. You can find links to all of our podcast episodes as well as our social media. And if you want to drop us a line, you can do so at IUsedToLikeThisOne@gmail.com. Let us know what movies you used to like, and then maybe you'll find us talking about them on the show.
I Used to Like This One is created by, hosted by, and produced by Sean Wells and Colin Stewart. It is edited by Sean Wells. Music by Lyndon Carter. Look for his band Carter in the Capitals anywhere you listen to music. Thank you for listening. And join us next time when we take a look at another movie on I Used to Like This One. Oh, yeah.
Sweet.
Nice.
Thanks, Will.